Ladies and gentlemen, the man I am about to bring you on the air now is loved, admired, and respected. He is listened to and known throughout the United States and throughout the world to some extent. He's been one of the great chain owners and broadcasters of America. He has lived in Washington, D.C., where he became very friendly with the FCC commissioner in Washington, D.C., and he knows of whom I speak. I was talking, Tom, to a friend of yours earlier this morning that we're going to get on the air with us in the next day or two or three, George Beasley, and he'd been listening to your commentary. And I asked George, I said, is there anything that you want me to pass along to Tom Joyner? He said, well, just tell him that these commentaries are just absolutely marvelous. I enjoy them. And so I'm passing that on to you right now. But here in America, people are confused. They get two different points of view on all the news. But if there's one man that can cut through all the red tape and get right down to that nugget of truth, it's Tom Joyner. Tom, I should have been doing this some time ago. I've recently come to the conclusion that I should have been teaching the psychology of the media, the psychology of radio, to my friends here, because I assumed that they knew. But I have come to discover that people do not understand the psychology of radio. Now, the print media is a lot different because you can actually pick up print. You can put your hands on it. You can hold it up and read it. But when you come to the psychology of radio, one thing I'm not going to talk too long, but one thing I have come to find out, and if it's said succinctly, people remember longer what they hear than what they read. Now, a lot of people don't know that. That's important. But now, that's a proven thing that I read many, many years ago. I've been brought up in the psychology of radio, and so have you. You've experienced because you've owned 57 radio stations. Now, I want you to just make a comment or two about that, and then I know you've got a lot of other things that you want to comment on. And by the way, releasing that marriage clerk out in Rowan County, Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky, has been great news today. But, Tom, let me tell you, you have a unique gift. It is you research everything you bring to the airwaves. And by the way, people don't know it, but there are two Tom Joyners. There's a black Tom Joyner that you know very well, and then there's a white Tom Joyner, and both are just outstanding, in my opinion. And you've worked very closely with the black Tom Joyner, but you have such a great resume that I'm just, if they knew your resume, everybody tuned in today, I just wish they did, and we'll do it bit by bit. But having said all that, I'm pleased to introduce you as a friend, you and George Beasley, so come on in. The microphone is all yours.
Well, thank you, Carl. You asked earlier today what happened to our country over the past 50 years or so, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. Our schools are regrettably either steering away from teaching history or trying to rewrite it. Kids today have little access to our country's history, and without those background lessons, we're doomed to repeat the mistakes. History today includes snippets of information, if any, until about 1960. Those of us with advancing years studied the history of this country and of the world, and some of you may have seen some of what I'll tell you today, but most have not. This is the year 2015. So what was life like 100 years ago in 1915? The average life expectancy for men was 47 years. To get fuel for your car, you had to go to a drugstore. Service stations had not yet come about. Only 14% of homes in 1915 had a bathtub. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. The maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles per hour. The tallest structure in the world was the Eiffel Tower in Paris. The average wage for workers was 22 cents per hour, and the average worker made between $200 and $400 a year. Good accountants could expect to earn $2,000 a year, a dentist $2,500. If you were a veterinarian, you could earn between $1,500 and $4,000 a year, and a mechanical engineer could make about $5,000 a year. More than 95% of all births in 1915 took place at home. 95%. No Planned Parenthood involved. 90% of doctors had no college education. Instead, they attended so-called medical schools, many of which were condemned by the press and the government as substandard. In 1915, it cost 4 cents a pound for sugar. Coffee, 15 cents per pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. I can remember as a young boy in the 50s when eggs had soared to 25 cents a dozen. If you bought cracked eggs from the egg man who came around, they were cheaper. And my dad always pointed out that, hey, we're going to be cracking the eggs anyway, so why don't we just buy them that way and save some money, money we had little of. 100 years ago, in 1915, most women only washed their hair once a month, and they used borax or egg yolks for shampoo. 100 years ago, Canada passed a law that prohibited poor people from entering into their country for any reason. They were ahead of their time. Canada had realized the danger of being overrun with people who they would have to support. The United States went the other way, even embracing illegal immigration. The five leading causes of death in 1915 were pneumonia and influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, and stroke. 100 years ago, the American flag had 45 stars, 12 stars less than Barack Obama said he had visited while running for president. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada, in 1915, 30 people. And crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea had not yet been invented. There was no Mother's Day or Father's Day, and 2 out of every 10 adults could not read or write. Only 6% of Americans had graduated high school. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter in drugstores. 18% of households had at least one full-time servant or domestic help. In 1915, 100 years ago, there were about 230 reported murders in the entire United States, much fewer than in Chicago alone today. For that matter, there were fewer deaths than many American cities today, such as Baltimore and D.C., Detroit, New Orleans, Los Angeles. The list could go on far longer than you want to hear. Now, it is true that the cost of living has risen greatly and that a dollar in 1915 was more valuable than now. But still, the information is shocking as we look at how far our country has come in some ways. Today, the United States is almost $18 trillion in debt and should approach or exceed $20 trillion in debt by the time Barack Obama leaves office. Unsustainable debt if we continue to spend more than we take in. In 2014, our country collected the greatest amount in taxes in the history of the country, and yet the debt escalated as we spent far more than we took in. Government has ballooned. We borrow money at high interest and give it away to countries that hate us. We leave our southern border wide open for illegal immigrants to swarm across, and we reward them once they're here with benefits that our returning veterans don't realize. We encourage pregnant women to sneak across the border and birth the child on our shores, and we'll grant that child American citizenship. Liberals don't concern themselves with the danger this is causing, choosing instead to argue about the words anchor babies being offensive. Those words depict reality, folks. The baby becomes at birth an anchor around which its relatives find entry to our country and the benefits that have been increasingly coming to them and that they have come to expect. What other country do you know that has an open border or who rewards those who illegally cross it? Certainly not Mexico. Why does not the people who are being entering here illegally, let me back up on that, who does not deport people illegally entering their country, but puts them in prison instead? We deport them several times as they keep coming back illegally, most looking for so-called sanctuary cities where liberals have shown them that they will be embraced and protected. How ignorant is that action? We should all join the chorus calling for an end to sanctuary city designations. We should endorse the idea that anyone caught in this country illegally after having been deported will be in prison. We have to do what we need to do to take care of Americans here. Now, we should stop listening to outside enemies and liberals inside our country who try to tell us something is offensive. Anchor babies is offensive, liberals say. Speaking against militant Islam, that's offensive, they shout. Anything liberals don't agree with is deemed offensive. Well, I don't give a constipated camel what is offensive to liberals, militant Muslims, or illegal immigrants. And you should not either. I'm offended by threats from Iran to destroy Israel and cause death to America. I'm offended by liberals who cannot see the danger they cause with their liberal words and ways. An example, how about California Senator Dianne Feinstein? She recently said that if we take the guns away from people, a perpetrator with a gun would put down their weapon. She says that's human nature. I say that Feinstein has been out in the sun far too long. She, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and others who have driven California's economy to its knees and assisted Obama in his quest to bring America down are part of Abraham Lincoln's concern decades ago about destroying ourselves from within. I'm offended by liberal Democrat politicians who condemn the Koch brothers for their financing of conservative causes while taking all they can get from somebody like George Soros, no friend of America. I'm deeply offended by Muslims who leave their home country to come to the United States and then demand that we change America to suit their desires. I'm offended by the idea that Muslims should be able to wear burqas on our streets, which hide their identity, and flowing robes that conceal a man or a woman, as well as deadly weapons. And I'm offended by militant Muslims right here in mosques where anti-American rants are inciting violence. Name me one Muslim-dominated country where Christians are allowed to preach hate of Islam in church, or in the streets for that matter. Even in their own private homes, they would be arrested and possibly beheaded. Now, I'm offended by Obama's unconcern for the tens of thousands of Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East, and the destruction of 1,000 to 2,000-year-old artifacts by ISIS, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda, among others. Liberals remain quiet in the face of all I just said. They choose to only react when anti-American offenses are claimed. If America offends you, go back to the wretched hell holes you left to come here. The deal or no deal with Iran has reached absurdity. Obama and Valerie Jarrett, along with John Kerry and liberals in Congress, want desperately to have a one-sided deal dictated to them by the Ayatollahs, and it looks like that's going to become law. Now, when we look at what's happened to our country, it's kind of easy to see what has happened. 50 years ago, you would not have even thought about, and our fathers and mothers and forefathers would never have thought that we would have the gay and lesbian movement as it is today, the militancy of it, same-sex marriage, attacks on Christians and their views, offended Muslims, atheists and agnostics who say there is no God, but then want to spend their time attacking what isn't there, in their opinion. That makes absolutely no sense, but it goes on and it goes on. So what happened? Have you ever seen a boat that could be maneuvered without a rudder? I haven't. But that's what we did. We took God out of our lives. We took the rudder out of our lives. You know, years ago, somebody told me, if we didn't have a God, we'd have to invent one. You need that moral climate. You need that dependency on a higher power. And that's what we have in God. Now, those who don't want to believe, that's their business. But don't come jumping me because I do believe. Don't just go out willy-nilly asking for manger scenes to be torn down because you don't believe. That's simply not the way this country was brought to the stage that it was 50 years ago. Many things have changed. Let me ask you a few questions. What happens when a Christian couple asks to be wed in an Islamic mosque here in America? We both know. Since shop owners and magistrates are made to fill the wishes of gays and Muslims, why is it not fair to require the same from gays and Muslims? Since bakers are compelled by law to make cakes for gay weddings against their religious beliefs, why can we not expect Muslim cafe owners to serve pork to those who ask for it? Why should America not take away welfare and other social program benefits to those caught rioting, looting, and burning neighborhoods? How asinine is it to let these thugs, regardless of race, reward themselves for instigating riots? Since this country has put in social program after social program to try and appease the cause for atonement for slavery, something no living white person has ever been involved in and no living black person was subjected to, something that included only a minute number of slave owners in this country, rather than tens of thousands of slave owners, and which included blacks among the slave owners. We have come a long way in the last 50 years. Why do liberals demand that all of us pay for abortions, the killing of innocent babies, and the sale of their body parts by Planned Parenthood? Liberals now demand that abortions include up to 9 months of pregnancy. In other words, a baby scheduled to come into the world tomorrow could be slaughtered and is today. Some even call for that slaughter after the baby has been born. Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz leads that merry band. 100% of Democrats approve of killing babies in the mother's womb up to 9 months of pregnancy. That's all of the Democrats in the Senate, 100%. If you're among that number, you owe me no explanation, but the God who gave you life will not forget. Now, I thank all of our listeners for their support over the time that I've been on WTSB. I don't want monetary support, for I take no remuneration for my efforts. God has been kind to me, and I pay my own way. But for your keeping an open mind for my commentaries, and if you'd like me to come for a meet and greet in Smithfield, Selma, or the area, call WTSB and let them know that you want to attend. If we get enough response, we'll come down. No charge, since I do not want your money, just your hearts and minds in my effort to help to turn our country back around. Carl?
Yes, sir. What a great commentary today, and I certainly welcome any telephone calls, and it's always good to have you on, Tom, and enjoyed what you had to say today, and we just think that your commentaries get better and better as time wears on. And so anything else on your mind today before we say goodbye?
Well, interestingly enough, Carl, I said on Facebook, and I gave not just Facebook, but I gave my my other email address, which is tjoiner1942@gmail.com. And I said, please post where you have heard one or more of my commentaries and what state or city you were in. I just did that yesterday afternoon late. So far, Carl, 24 states have responded. 69 towns and cities across those states have responded, and it's still coming in. So we're very, very thankful to those who not only listen, but who tell their friends and neighbors about it and who spread the word. And while we're on that, I said yesterday, I need to record something for you to talk about WTSB. You were talking about radio and the spoken word. I've been at this radio and television for 51 years. Frankly, I was about to completely retire from broadcasting, Carl, when you called and asked if I would come on. And then you asked me if I would come on every week, and we've been doing that. Every one of my stations that I operated, and there were a lot, as Carl made reference to, we did what you, Carl, and your staff have done there in Smithfield, Selma, Dunn, Benson, the entire area. In fact, there are some 29 counties that you get into. But you have really not gone out to the ends of those 29 counties and spent all your time. You took your time and your radio station and devoted it to the local community, local radio. That's what we started with so many years ago, back 1924, when a station up in Pittsburgh went on the air. That was when radio got started, and it was a slow grind for a while, AM and then FM. But, Carl, localism is what makes it all work, and your station is as good at that as any in the United States.
Well, Tom, I appreciate that, and we are going to have you on more often if we can get you on, because I think people have come to appreciate the fact of what you say. I notice that I'm getting more and more and more people to tell me how much they appreciate your commentary, and by having them tell me that, I'm going to try to make time available to you whenever something comes up that you want to say to the people. We'll try to help you find that time.
Well, I appreciate that, Carl. And when I mentioned that we're beginning to hear from the places where people listen to us, it's amazing to me. California, Oregon, Alaska, Hawaii, obviously Tennessee and Rhode Island and Virginia and places like that. Louisiana, up in Canada, and we're just now beginning to get people who are coming through to say they listen in the foreign countries. So it's humbling in many, many ways. But if I can, God gave me the ability. Now, I've worked hard to try to develop that ability, but God gave me the ability to put my words together and inspire people to do more. And as long as he gives me that ability, I'm going to keep doing it. I don't know how much longer I've got. I'm a little younger than you. I hadn't started picking out my hymns yet, but that'll come. I've already dealt with the wills and that kind of thing, much to my daughter's happiness. But what I wanted to get around to it at the end of this is, I am so enthralled with what you do and that radio station. When I first went on it, I thought, well, I'm going to help Carl. It's going to be just a little local thing. And then it blossomed and it bloomed. And I mentioned to Dr. Dornick, I know he's one of your advertisers. He did my eye surgery years ago. But I mentioned to him a couple of weeks ago, I was in to see him, and I said, you know, I know you were just down on Carl Station, and I've got to tell you, you're going to get tremendous response from that. And he leaned back and he laughed and he said, you don't have to tell me that. I've been getting the response from there like no other. And as he says, when he speaks about the station, you know, it beats everything he's done from print to television, being on WTSB. And Carl, that's because you're so localized. You touch people's hearts that look to the radio station for not only entertainment, but for guidance. I heard you have Jesse Lee Peterson on just a little bit earlier. You have some tremendous correspondents on your station. So I'm going to, again, urge every single listener, wherever you shop, groceries, department store, wherever you shop, ask for the manager and let them know that you listen to WTSB and that you would appreciate their support of your radio station. Carl, you got a good one.
I certainly do, and I got a good commentator here today, too. Maybe the best, one of the best anyway. You and John B. Wells and Jeff Cooner and Wayne Allen Root, you're just top of the line. And Mr. Root is over in Africa right now. But, Tom, you started it. You got in before Rush Limbaugh.
Yes,
you're well-known throughout the country. And we're all sort of back in George. You're going to be honored by the Georgia Broadcasters Association. You and I are certainly going to do everything we can to support that. But, Tom, we just appreciate everything you say, and everything you say is true. And I'm going to – I realize I've done a bad job. I hadn't got out and bragged anything like I should have about some of the things. For an example, on our website here that Mickey has, his news site, we're now getting over way over a million hits every month on this website. It is growing by leaps and bounds. And what I want to do, I don't want people to come up to me and say, I listen to you every day. That's nice. I appreciate that. But I want people to say they listen to WTSB. They get their information from WTSB, and that they are proud. I want people in this community to be proud of this radio station. And we've lost something from 50 years ago. People don't have the hometown pride I think they had 50 years ago. Tom, I don't know why that is.
There's the combination, obviously, a combination of things. But pride in our own country, pride in ourselves, that's been down too, Carl. But we can all turn that around. And let me say to, because I know he listens each time we're on, let me say to my friend George Beasley, Ann and I are going to go with George and his Ann on a cruise to Hawaii in October. George has been having some health problems, which he's battling to overcome, and seems to be doing well with that. But George and I don't have any problem, Carl, after all of these years, some 50 years, when we meet and when we part, in saying, my friend, I love you. And I wish that more and more people, men in particular, would learn to say that, not just to their wife or, you know, some lady down the street, but to somebody who they genuinely do love.
Amen. Well, Tom, I love you, and I love Ann, and I love George. I love everybody, and I'm trying to... I believe in John 3:16. I'm going to talk about that one day, but I believe in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, and the world is you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I claim that with all my heart and all my mind, every sinew of my body, every fiber of my being, I believe that.
I believe it as well, Carl. And God bless America.